Chapter 12.
Hey, Becca?
I asked, as I looked around at the pelts that had been hung from the basement walls.
What exactly are these things I'm looking at here?
Oh, the pelts? They're purely for aesthetics, so they're all faux. You didn't think a non-violent organization like the Brotherhood of the Blue Lotus would actually kill a bunch of animals for decor, did you?
I didn't know, I shrugged. I just wanted to make sure.
What? Did you think they were werepanther pelts?
All of my friends remained silent at Becca's question, which caused her demeanor to change. She frowned before she let out an offended gasp and crossed her arms across her chest.
Becca!
Val started, but the platinum blonde wasn't having it.
You honestly thought I'd lead you here if I thought my father and his friends were going to hurt you?
She asked, as her eyebrows furrowed with sadness.
You're my friends.
Of course, we know you wouldn't do that on purpose.
So, you think I'm such a dumb blonde I'd accidentally lead you into a trap?
No,
I said as I shook my head. I'm just paranoid, especially around magic users. Up until now, the only large groups of magic users we've encountered have been trying to kill us, so naturally we're going to be a bit wary. It's nothing against you or your father.
My father is a good man. He's nonviolent, and he's sworn in Nefertim's own name he's never killed anyone in cold blood.
In cold blood?
Naomi echoed.
Doesn't that imply he has killed someone before, though?
Oh, he certainly has.
Becca nodded.
But he says it's always in self-defense, in the name of protecting Nefertim and his brothers.
Let's hope that mindset keeps up. Because if the Brotherhood does agree to join up with us, they're probably going to have to fight with the OLG and the Ancient Order of the Nile, plus any other crazy creatures Khonsu and Keck throw at us.
That will not be a problem. You're a child of Bast, the Panther Mother, and the Brotherhood will be willing to protect you to their dying breaths. I'm sure of it.
I hoped Becca was right about her father and his friends, because we were currently trapped inside of a basement that looked to be as secure as a Cold War-era bomb shelter. If the Brotherhood of the Blue Lotus decided they wanted to be foes and not friends, we would have to literally fight our way out of the house. My ears picked up the sounds of four distinct pairs of footsteps as they came down into the basement, and soon I saw Mr. Bartram come around the corner with three other men who wore the same frock coat and tunic combination.
Ah, there he is!
Boyd declared as he threw out his hands in my direction.
The child of the Panther Mother himself. Him?
One of the other men asked.
He looks like a normal human to me. Obviously, Carl. He's still in his human form. Once everybody else gets here, he will transform and show you the glory of Nefertim firsthand.
He'd better.
One of the other men grumbled.
I drove all the way from Columbus for this.
That's only an hour drive,
Naomi said with a roll of her eyes.
I think you'll be okay.
And who is this?
Carl asked Boyd as he pointed to Naomi.
You told us there was a miracle here, Bartram, but you didn't say anything about these four women. We love Becca as one of our own, but these others.
What's wrong with my women? I growled as I tried my best to keep my werepanther form from surfacing. Wherever I go, they are welcome, and we're going to keep it that way. Got it?
Get a load of this guy, making demands about the Brotherhood like he owns the place.
I assure you, my brothers, this will all be worth your while. Have a seat and wait for the rest of the Brotherhood to arrive, and then we can begin.
I glared at the three men as they walked past to their seats, and I heard their heart rates start to increase. They may have been putting on a brave front, but apparently I made them nervous, even in my human form. I honestly couldn't wait to see how bad they'd shit themselves when they saw me as a werepanther.
Are all of your father's friends assholes like that?
Janine whispered to Becca.
Some of them are.
The platinum blonde woman shrugged.
When you get people together in large groups, there's bound to be a few assholes in there somewhere. The Brotherhood of the Blue Lotus is no exception.
Well, they'd better start showing me some manners quickly. We need help against Keck and Khonsu, but there's no way in hell I'm going to willingly work with people who disrespect me and my friends like they just did.
It's all right, Carter.
Leah said as she touched my shoulder. And the sensation of her soft hand against my body seemed to calm my anger in an instant. My friends and I continued to wait around while the other members of the Brotherhood, all clad in the same green frock, coat, and tunic combo, marched into Mr. Bartram's basement. Eventually, after about an hour, we had a full house, and Boyd walked up to the front of the audience.
Thank you all for coming on such short notice,
Mr. Bartram said as he cleared his throat.
I know this isn't our normal meeting place, but I can promise that what I'm going to show you is very much worth the hassle.
And what do you wish to show us, Boyd?
The man named Carl asked.
Right now, all I see is your dingy old basement and a group of kids who wouldn't know a god if it stood right before them.
Bullshit! I growled.
"Excuse me?"
Carl asked, as he whipped his head around to stare at me. "I've met a god before, dude. Actually, a goddess. Bast. I spoke with her."
"Please,"
the other asshole-ish brother scoffed.
"No mortal can talk to a god without performing a messenger spell, and there's no way you did that."
"Says who?"
Naomi argued.
"Do you have any idea how hard that sort of spell is to cast?"
Carl asked in a condescending tone.
"Interdimensional monsters would have torn you limb from limb if you'd even tried."
"Well, we did try,"
the witch said with a sly smirk.
"And we were successful."
"I spoke to Bast," I repeated. "I can't really prove it to you, but I did." There were murmurs and whispers all throughout the room, until Boyd cleared his throat again to get everybody's attention.
"There is no reason to be distrustful of Carter, my brothers, for he is the miracle of Nefertem that was foretold."
"Him? He doesn't look like a miracle. He's not even a member of our brotherhood. Why is he trying to bring women into our group?"
"Calm down, my brothers,"
Boyd said in a much firmer tone.
"Carter and his friends have come to us seeking help."
"With what?" Carl chuckled.
"Do they need somebody to do their laundry so they don't have to spend quarters at the dorm?"
"Oh, come now, Carl. Carter and his friends are good friends of Becca's. Please treat them with respect."
"What do they need help with, Boyd?"
a random member of the Brotherhood asked.
"And why should we give two fucks about helping them?"
"Because our enemies have united,"
Mr. Bartram said as his face fell into a deep frown.
"According to Carter, Keck and Khonsu have decided to join forces in an attempt to wipe out everything that Bast has created."
"Keck? Keck doesn't help out anybody but himself."
"This is why the situation is dire, my friends," Boyd nodded. "The two gods and their cultists believe Carter is too much of a threat for either of them to fight alone."
"Him?"
Carl asked again.
"The string bean."
"Show them, Carter,"
Becca finally interjected.
"Before I walk over there and strangle Carl with a thorny rose stem."
I wandered up to the front of the audience, and the second I got up there, I could sense the tension in the crowd. Several of the men sat there with their hands crossed over their chests and looks of disbelief drooped onto their faces, while the others just waited patiently for the show. You don't mind if I rip these clothes off, do you?" I asked Boyd as I gently held the front of my shirt away from my body, because they're not going to survive the transformation.
"A worthy sacrifice,"
the man said with a smile and a nod. I took a deep breath before I stepped away from Mr. Bartram, and then I summoned black magic. Instantly, every muscle in my body widened, stretched, and elongated underneath my flesh, and I let out a slight growl as the teeth in my mouth became razor sharp. My fingernails grew out into deadly daggers, and my hands and feet turned into padded paws, while all the hair on my body thickened up into giant clumps of black fur. When the transformation was done, I saw nothing but gaping stares from my audience.
"Oh, he is a child of the Panther Mother! A brother to Nefertem!"
"I told you, Nefertem and his mother have bestowed upon us a blessing of the highest order. Not only has one of Nefertem's brothers survived into maturity, but he came to us for help. What kind of servants would we be if we refused?"
"Shitty ones,"
Becca interjected, but then she quickly shut up with a sly grin when her father gave her a dirty look.
"Color me impressed," Carl conceded. "Nefertem does bless us this day. I still don't believe he actually completed a messenger spell, though."
"You should,"
Naomi said with a grumble.
"I was there when it happened."
"In what way can we assist you, brother of Nefertem?"
one of the frock-coated men asked.
"I need allies in this fight against Keck and Khonsu."
There were murmurs throughout the crowd as they looked back and forth between each other, and for a moment I sensed the tension rise in the room again.
"We are not warriors, brother of Nefertem. The Brotherhood of the Blue Lotus has sworn an oath to peace and nonviolence."
Yeah. Only use the force for knowledge and defense, never attack, I get it. I'm not asking you to become bloodthirsty warriors, though. All I'm asking is that you help my friends and I if we are attacked, and that you share some of your knowledge and resources with us."
"I believe he is asking for an oath of allegiance. That's a strong bond to create, Boyd. Why should we take such a risk when we don't reap any benefits?"
"What's so risky about an oath?"
I asked Becca's father.
"An oath of allegiance isn't just an oath, Carter. It is a ceremony that creates a magical bond between the fates of two souls, taken before the gods they worship and bound in a sacrifice."
"I thought you guys didn't do sacrifices."
"We do, my dear," Boyd nodded. "And we do not take them lightly. Any time we snuff out the light of life in a living creature, we feel great sorrow. If we form this bond to you, Carter Hatfield, then our fates will forever be intertwined. Should either of us choose to break the oath, we will be smote right there on the spot."
Damn. I mean, you don't have to worry about me breaking it or anything, but that's pretty intense. Do we have to do that?
Why would we? Carl argued. We get nothing out of this, and we're taking a giant risk.
We get a lot out of this agreement, Carl.
Becca spoke up as her face began to turn beet red.
The oath goes both ways, which means Carter will protect us, too.
From what?
The man pressed on.
We live peaceful lives.
It's Keck. If he is victorious in any way, shape, or form, there will be no peace.
Why not? Won't things just go back to the status quo, the way they are now?
No.
Boyd shook his head.
I fear Khonsu and Keck won't stop at Carter and his friends. They will destroy anything the Panther Mother has bestowed upon this world, which would include Bast herself and our beloved Nefertem.
And, by extension, those who follow Nefertem.
You guys.
I think they got the implication, Becca.
So we're supposed to create an oath of allegiance to a creature we just met because you have a sinking feeling in your stomach.
The man next to Carl snorted.
You're not even a high-ranking member, Boyd.
It's not a sinking feeling. It's the truth. Keck unleashed the swarm on Carter and his friends only yesterday, and this is after he sent his beloved servant Newt to kill him.
And after Khonsu tried to kill us with Ichthygo,
I said with a growl.
Neither of these assholes are playing around.
Of course they aren't playing around,
Carl continued.
The OLG has been killing werepanthers at Khonsu's request for centuries. I fail to see how this is our problem, Boyd.
Damn it, Carl!
Boyd yelled as he slammed his fist on a nearby shelf and knocked it off the wall.
This isn't just about us anymore! This is about all of the Panther Mother's creations!
Calm down, Daddy,
Becca said softly to her father.
Remember your blood pressure.
This is fucking pointless.
Naomi sighed and rolled her eyes.
These idiots are too stupid to see what you're even trying to say, so we may as well tell them to piss off and find some other cult to enlist.
Hold on!
Becca huffed before she turned toward Carl, placed her hands on her hips, and scowled.
Let me ask you something, Carl. What is the mission of the Brotherhood of the Blue Lotus? What is their purpose?
Careful, Miss Bartram,
Carl warned as his beady eyes narrowed.
We've been lenient with our rules because we watched you grow up. But this is a brotherhood, not a sisterhood. And you're not even supposed to know our rituals or spells. You'd be best to leave this debate to the Brotherhood's official members.
Oh, fuck that!
The platinum blonde said with a shake of her finger.
Nobody disrespects my father like that, even his so-called brothers. What is the Brotherhood's mission, Carl?
The beady-eyed man glared daggers at Becca for a solid minute before he finally leaned back and crossed his arms over his chest.
To save mankind from his own doing, through the preservation of Nefertem's beauty and life.
That's right! The preservation of Nefertem's beauty and life. That beauty and life are going to be destroyed if those big bad Egyptian gods kill Nefertem and his mother, right?
I suppose.
Carl seethed through his teeth.
And if they kill Carter, then they will go after Nefertem too. This is the Brotherhood's business, Carl, whether you like it or not.
Damn, I'd never seen Becca this impassioned before, and it was a breath of fresh air. Even though Carl looked like he wanted to throw a rock at the young woman, the rest of the people in the room seemed to be drifting toward our side. Many of the members of the Brotherhood now wore ponderous expressions on their faces, which were a mixture of raised eyebrows, narrowed eyes, and scowls, but they were also rubbing their chins and nodding subtly as they listened to Becca's plea.
This is what I'm trying to tell you, my brothers, Boyd interjected. Carter Hatfield's fight is our fight, and we must all take the oath of allegiance to show him that we will stick together through the thick and the thin until the fight is over. Which will probably mean we're all dead, Carl mumbled.
So that's it. You're scared.
I'm not scared,
the weasel of a man said.
I just think it's a bad idea to jump into a literal blood oath with somebody we've just met so that we can help him fight two deities. It's simple intelligence, not fear.
That's what they all say.
Naomi rolled her eyes.
The OLG thought they were so much smarter than us. So did my sisters. And Newt. Guess where they all are?
Dead! Just like we'll all be soon. But I'm starting to get the feeling that I'm going to be outvoted on this one, so I may as well sit back and accept my fate.
That sounds like you're bringing emotion to the floor, Boyd asked.
Oh, might as well, the man shrugged. There's no winning over all you fools, so let's get it done and out of the way.
All right, then,
one of the older members of the Brotherhood said as he stood from his chair.
Brother Carl has put forth a motion to vote on forming an oath of allegiance with the Werepanther. All in favor, say aye. All opposed, nay.
Ayes and nays rang out throughout the room, and the elder brother tried to count on his fingers the number of each one. However, it proved fruitless, and his shoulders slumped as he took a deep breath.
We will need to do a show of hands. It is too close to distinguish.
Oh, fuck. Even after all of this, even after Becca and her father and I had all pleaded with these guys and laid out the perfect reasons as to why they should join up with us, there was still a chance it was going to fall through.
This is ridiculous.
Becca mumbled under her breath.
All in favor?
The old man asked, and several arms shot up as he counted each one.
All opposed.
The first group of voters put down their hands almost at the exact same time the nays were raising theirs, and my heart dropped as I tried to count them myself.
Come on,
Leah whispered to herself.
30, 31.
The elder brother nodded and rubbed his hands together.
The ayes have it.
Whew! A huge wave of relief washed over me as I let out the breath I'd been holding in, and my heart rate started to return to normal.
I knew you'd make the right choice. You had me worried there for a minute, though.
It appears the Brotherhood has made its choice.
Carl frowned.
However, we operate as a democracy, and though I do not agree with the choice, I will abide by the decision of my brothers.
Then we must perform the Oath of Allegiance at once,
Boyd declared with a massive smile on his face.
So, what's the deal with this oath? Do we all have to slice our wrists open and pour it into a goblet or something like that?
Of course not!
Mr. Bartram said with a horrified expression.
We are non-violent, remember?
He called it a blood oath,
the witch said as she pointed to Carl.
And you keep talking about a sacrifice, so what else was I supposed to think?
We don't sacrifice anything with blood or the ability to feel pain.
Boyd shook his head.
That would be savage and cruel.
Oh, I have a couple of guys I should apologize to then. Well, I'd apologize to them if they were still alive, that is.
So you sacrifice...
Val began, but Mr. Bartram cut her off.
Plans!
He said, in a tone much too serious for the situation, and I did my best not to laugh. Naomi, though, had no such restraint. The witch let out a snort as a sly grin twisted up the sides of her face, and then she chuckled to herself as she shook her head.
It's no laughing matter, Naomi,
Becca said with a frown.
The light of a living thing must be snuffed out in order to form this bond.
You're serious?
Naomi stopped laughing and blinked.
Why wouldn't she be serious?
Val asked, with her arms crossed over her chest.
Because we're talking about plants,
the red and black-haired woman noted.
You said it yourself, they don't feel pain. Do you get this upset when you see somebody walking across the grass instead of on the sidewalk?
A few of the members of the Brotherhood let out a gasp, and this time I couldn't contain my own quiet snicker. But even though I was fighting back a full-on belly laugh, I tried to keep the opinions of our new allies in mind.
Come on now, Naomi, I said to the leather-clad woman. This is a big deal for them, so we should respect that.
Okay,
the witch smirked.
I feel endless amounts of sorry for the plant they're about to sacrifice.
As it should be, Boyd said with a nod. Brother Dimitri, would you like to get us started?
The same elder brother from before gave Boyd a nod, and then his hands began to glow with an emerald shimmer. Brother Dimitri's face grew somber as he held his arms out to his side and closed his eyes. And almost instantly the small plants in the room were illuminated with the same green light as Dimitri's hands. Then the plants began to stretch out and head toward all of us in the center of the room. Snake-like vines grew out from the stems of the plants, until finally there was one vine for every person in the room.
Place your hand around the vine,
Dimitri commanded us all. I reached out with my right paw and latched my claws into the green, glowing stem that stood before me. The rest of my friends followed suit as the members of the Brotherhood took hold of the other vines, and then Boyd cleared his throat.
Great Nefertum, we stand before you today to offer a sacrifice in your glorious name. Your humble servants have been so fortunate as to find another who shares the same illustrious purpose, and we call upon you for a blessing of our alliance.
To prove the gravitas of this situation, your loyal followers present to you this green, luscious flora. May its sacrifice bond our souls in your grace, and may our bond never be broken. This is our promise to you, great Nefertum, and we shall never wane.
Repeat the last line,
Becca whispered to me.
This is our promise to you, great Nefertum,
all of us said in semi-unison.
And we shall never wane.
Dimitri?
Boyd asked. Dimitri gave Becca's father a nod, and then his hands began to glow even more intensely with his nature magic. This time, though, there was a tinge of darkness to the light, which quickly spread along the vines of the plant. Soon, the entire body of the plant began to writhe as if it were in pain, and then it started to shrivel up and dry out before our very eyes. Within seconds, there was nothing left of the flora but a thin, dried-out, leathery brown husk. As the life drained from the plant, the same green and black magic crawled out from its shriveled body and surrounded everyone in the room in its glow. A strange tingling sensation spread all throughout my body, and it reminded me of when I accidentally slept on my arm wrong and woke up with pins and needles. The sensation also felt warm and calming, until finally the green light pooled itself around my chest and then pushed through my flesh, as though it wasn't even there. As the magical light entered my heart, it seemed to freeze in place, and an unnerving sense of dread washed over me. Then, just as soon as it had begun, the sensation ceased.
Was that it?
I asked, as I looked around the room.
It is done!
Boyd hung his head as tears filled his eyes. The rest of the members of the Brotherhood all looked down to the ground and moped like they'd just watched their dog get run over by a semi, and none of them uttered a word for a full 5 minutes. Then I felt every nerve ending on my body light up like a Christmas tree. My invisible eye. There was danger afoot. My mind instantly jumped back to Dr. Hansen's words. Was this all a ruse by the Brotherhood of the Blue Lotus? Had they put some sort of curse on my friends and I that would mean our ends? Rage boiled up from my innermost core as I began to see red.
What did you just do? Tell me now!
Boyd's eyes widened as he took a step back and held up his hands.
We just took the Oath of Allegiance. That is how the process works, Carter.
Don't lie to me,
I said with a snarl.
What did you do?
Carter, what's the matter?
Becca asked as she stepped in front of me and gave me a defiant stare.
Daddy's telling the truth.
Then why is my invisible eye going crazy? It only does that when there's danger present, and you're the only ones I see.
That's when my ears picked up footsteps. Lots of footsteps. Footsteps that were approaching the Bartram house from all sides. And if I had to guess, they probably were not friendly.